Amen. The key to life is surrendering all to the Lord Jesus Christ. If you look inside your bulletin, you'll find an outline of today's message. What would Jesus say to Lance Armstrong? I'm going to ask all that are able to please stand in honor of the reading of God's Word. Our first reading comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24. Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like a man running aimlessly. I do not fight like a man beating the air. No, I beat my body and make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. Hebrews chapter 1, chapter 12, verse 1. Therefore, since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us pray. Gracious God, Lord, may you speak to our hearts today through your word. Father, may we surrender all to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. We'll make our prayer in His name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. For the last month, we've been looking at what Jesus would say to certain celebrities. Now, a celebrity is just someone that is well-known and easily recognized. We've looked at Donald Trump, Kim Kardashian, Ellen DeGeneres, LeBron James, and today we're going to be looking at Lance Armstrong. Now, at the very beginning, we have said all along it's not our job to judge these people. That's God's job. So we're not here to judge anyone. However, today when I talk about Lance Armstrong, you will hear some things that he has done wrong. It's not that I say that they're wrong. It's he says they're wrong. Okay? So I'm not judging him. He is judging himself. If we had to give one word description for Lance Armstrong, the title it would come up for a lot of people is deception. And that is, for years he was accused of using performance-enhancing injections to give him an advantage over the competition. And for years he said it is not true. As a matter of fact, he ruined other people's career because they actually came out and spoke against him. Of course, in 2013, he admitted to injecting himself with banned substances. So the one-word description is deception. Now remember, as we've looked at all of these celebrities, it's not just what Jesus would say to them, but what he would say to us. I wonder how many times, like Lance Armstrong, that we put on one persona in public and we put on a different one in private. I want to give you a definition this morning of a lie. A lie is an untrue statement made with the intent to deceive. It is an intentional violation of truth. And since God Himself is true. Since God Himself is truth, a lie is actually a violation of the very nature of God. And yet, out of all the sins that we can talk about, lying is the only one that we color. You've never heard of anybody committing a white murder, or a white adultery, or white stealing. But we will minimize a lie by saying, well, it was a little white lie. Well, it's a deception, and God hates it. And so let's think about Lance Armstrong and how he lived a lie and told a lie over and over and over again. But as we think about Lance Armstrong, I want you to realize that Lance Armstrong is a tremendous athlete. Yes, he used some banned substances, but he's still a tremendous athlete. He was a professional triathlete at 16 years of age. Now, let me put that in perspective for you. A triathlon is three competitions, one right after another. You start off by swimming 2.5 miles. If I had to swim 2.5 miles, I just drowned, okay? You swim 2.5 miles, and then you get out of the water and get on a bicycle, and you bicycle for 112 miles. And then you get off the bicycle, and you run a marathon of 26.2 miles. I'm telling you, he's a tremendous athlete in that he was a professional triathlete at 16 years of age. He actually won the National Triathlete Championship when he was 18 and when he was 19 years of age. These are called the Ironman competition, and he's won numerous Ironman competition before he ever injected himself with hormones. He's a tremendous athlete. Not only that, but he was the world cycling champion at age 22 years old, world champion. At age 25, he's diagnosed with cancer, and after having surgery and treatment, he came back to go on to the competition, and at the age of 28, he won the Tour de France. Now you say, well, I'm not even sure what that is, Pastor. Well, it's the most prestigious cycling race in the world. It is 2,300-mile race on a bicycle through the French Alps, okay? Did you know there's actually been 4 bicyclists that have been killed in the Tour de France? You see, not only do you have to climb the mountain on the bicycle, you have to come down it. Can you imagine going 75 miles an hour on a bicycle whose tire is less than an inch wide? You don't want to hit a rock, okay? He went on to win 7 Tour de France in a row. Never been done. He is a tremendous athlete. And then secondly, I want you to know that Lance is a compassionate cancer survivor. Lance Armstrong was diagnosed with stage 4 cancer. It had metastasized. It was in his abdomen, it was in his lungs, and it was in his brain. His oncologist later would say, I told him he had a 20% chance of survival. He said, I really didn't think he had any chance of survival. I just told him 20% so that all the news wasn't bad. So here he is, 25 years of age. The medical community says there's no chance for survival. And so he has surgery, he has chemotherapy. And 2 years later, Lance Armstrong was declared cancer-free. And since that time, he has helped millions of cancer patients. So this is the guy that we're using today to have a conversation with and about what Jesus would say to Lance Armstrong. What would he say? Number one, I believe he would say, Lance, you cannot run from your pain. In Psalm 55, verse 6, I said, oh, that I had the wings of a dove, and I would fly away and be at rest. Now, why do I say that Jesus would tell him, you cannot run away from your pain? Did you know Lance Armstrong? Did you know that his biological birth name is not Armstrong? Did you know that his biological father abandoned him when he was 2 years old? His mother remarried and his stepfather adopted him, and Armstrong is his adopted name, not his biological name. And because his dad abandoned him when he was 2 years of age, Lance Armstrong abandoned his father. Later on in life, his father tried to have a relationship with Lance Armstrong, and he refused to speak to him. He refused to meet with him. And Lance Armstrong's biological father died in 2012. Lance never met him. You see, what happened is, it's the love that he needed from his father that he didn't get as a child caused him to feel unworthy and to feel unloved. Think about that. And he spent the rest of his life in a race running away from other men. I believe Jesus would say to Lance Armstrong, you cannot run away from your pain. Proverbs 28:1 says, evil people run even though no one is chasing them, but good people are as brave as a lion. My question to you today is this, what are you running from? What trouble are you running from? What pain are you running from? You see, no matter how hard Lance pedaled, he could never pedal away from the pain. You see, what you have to do is you have to turn to Jesus and bring your pain and your trouble and your heartache to Jesus Christ and say, God, here, heal me of the brokenness that I have on the inside. I have some quotes today I want to share with you from Lance Armstrong. Here's one of them. It says, your past forms you, whether you like it or not. Now, folks, your past may form who you are, but it doesn't have to form who you can become. You see, you can come to Jesus Christ with your past, no matter how messed up, no matter how painful it is, and say, God, here's my mess, and God can make a beautiful message out of your mess. I believe Jesus would say, stop running from the pain. And then the second thing I believe he would say to Lance Armstrong is, you cannot justify your sin. In Luke 16:15, Jesus said to them, you are the ones who justify yourselves in the eyes of men, but God knows your hearts. What is highly valued among men is detestable in God's sight. Right, so he was breaking the rules. He was doing what was wrong. He was lying about what he was doing. But you see, he had an excuse. He had a reason. At least in his mind, he justified while it was okay. I wonder who's here today and you're doing things in your life that doesn't please God, but you've justified it. Well, you know, if they hadn't have done this, I wouldn't have done that. And you're blaming or using some kind of excuse for not doing the right thing. It reminds me of an old guy came to his farmer neighbor and said, can I borrow your rope? He said, no. He said, I'm tying up milk. He said, what? How do you tie up milk? He said, you can't, but any excuse will do when you don't want to do something. I wonder what kind of excuse you're using today to justify things that you know in your heart are not right. In Luke 10:29, it says, but he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, who is my neighbor? See, he'd asked the question, what's the greatest commandment? Jesus said, love God with all your heart, love your neighbor as yourself. And notice he wanted to justify himself, so he said, who is my neighbor? You know, I wish he'd never asked that question. Because then I could have decided who my neighbor was. But because he wanted to justify himself, we know that our neighbor is anybody we come into contact with. Job says it this way, if I justify myself, my own mouth shall condemn me. We're going to see in a moment those exact words are going to come back to haunt Lance Armstrong. I have another quote of his that's up here on the screen. He said, I didn't invent the culture of doping, but I didn't try to stop it. You know what Lance Armstrong was saying? Everybody's doing it. Everybody's doping, and so I dope too. And by the way, did you know there's some truth in what he said? when he was stripped of his title for 7 Tour de France championships, they didn't give it to the next team. You want me to tell you why? They recognized they were all doping. But you understand, just because everybody else sinned is not a justification for you to sin. When you stand before God, you will not be able to say Ken Falkenberry sinned as an excuse for your sin. Everybody's doing it. Let me ask you something. Did it work when you tried it with your mama? Remember when you asked your mama to do something and she said no, and you said, "Oh, but mom, all the other kids are doing it, huh?" What did your mama say? "Well, if all the other kids jump off a cliff, are you going to jump off a cliff?" Tell me you hadn't heard that line before. Listen, if it didn't work with your mama, it's not going to work with God. Number 3, your good does not undo your bad, Lance. We're going to see in a moment, Lance has done a lot of good in life, but it doesn't undo the bad. Proverbs 14:12 says, "There is a way that seems right to man, but in the end, it leads to death." Let me tell you what seems right to us. If I put all my bad on this scale and all my good on the other side of the scale, if I've got more good than I have bad, then God's going to let me into heaven and God's going to be pleased with what I do because I've got more good than bad. But that's not true at all. Let me give you an example of what I'm talking about. I love to go out to get an omelet, you know, the Western kind, where they got all the meat and the peppers and the onions and all that good stuff and the cheese to have an omelet. Well, let's just say that you were at my house and I were going to fix you an omelet. So I go in there and I chop up the ham and the Canadian bacon and the sausage and the peppers and the onions, and I get the cheese and I get my eggs out, and I got 6 of them, and I break the first 5 and, man, they really look good, and I break the 6th one. And it was rotten. You ever smell a rotten egg? Gosh, it's bad. My dad used to raise chickens. It's bad. Well, that's all the eggs I have. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go ahead and beat all 6 of them up together. And you know what? I'm going to put my ham and my bacon and my peppers and my onions. Woo, man, all that stuff's just sizzling in the pan. It smells good. And then I'm going to throw them eggs in there. And I'm going to make that omelet. And then I'm going to serve it to you. Now, it's got good ham, it's got good cheese, it's got good peppers, good onions, it's got 5 good eggs and 1 rotten egg. Now, is that going to be acceptable to you? Well, you understand the same thing is true in life. You can have 5 good things in your life and 1 bad thing, and you mix them up and you offer it to God, and God says it's not acceptable unto Him. Lance, your good does not undo the bad in your life. Ephesians 2:8-9 says, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves. It is a gift of God, not by works, so no one can boast." You see, Lance, you can't be right with God by simply trying harder, by doing more good things. And yet I'm convinced that the majority of people think they're going to get to heaven because they've done a bunch of good stuff. But it doesn't undo the bad in your life. Notice here what Lance Armstrong said in his book, It's Not About the Bike. He said, "If I did that, if I was good to my family, true to my friends, if I gave back to the community or to some cause, if I wasn't a liar, a cheat, or a thief, then I believe that should be enough." Do you understand he was saying? This ought to be enough. Now, he said this right before he had brain surgery. He's thinking about death. He's thinking about standing before God. And he thinks, if I've done these things, then that's enough. He's thinking his good outdoes his bad. And by the way, I want to applaud Lance Armstrong for the good that he's done. According to Forbes magazine, Lance Armstrong has used his fame to help more people than any athlete in the world ever has. According to Forbes magazine, Lance Armstrong has helped 2.5 million people who have cancer. Lance Armstrong, through his foundation, Live Strong, raised $500 million for cancer patients and cancer research. He's done a lot of good. Remember when we looked at Ellen DeGeneres, we said, you know, she gave $1 million to Harvey. We looked at LeBron James, he gave $41 million to help underprivileged kids. Well, here's Lance Armstrong. He helped 2.5 million people with $500 million with cancer. But all of that good won't undo one sin that Lance Armstrong has committed. And all of your good will not undo the bad that you've done in your life. Number four, I believe Jesus would say to Lance Armstrong, nothing is more important than your soul. In Matthew 16:26, Jesus said, what good will it be for a man if he gains the whole world yet forfeits his soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul? You see, to Lance Armstrong, the most important thing in the world was winning. Here's another one of his quotes up here on the screen. He said, before my diagnosis, that is cancer, I was a competitor, but not a fierce competitor. Then I said, I would do anything to survive. Then I brought that ruthless win at all cost attitude into cycling. You understand what happened? He said, it's all about winning. It's all about winning. And if I have to pump myself full of banned substances, if I have to cheat, if I have to lie, whatever I have to do to win, I'm going to win at all cost. Even if it meant his soul. As pastor, how do you know that? Well, I read it in his book. On page 117, this is right before he's going into surgery. He says, if there was indeed a God, at the end of my days, I hoped he didn't say, but you were never a Christian, so you're going the other way from heaven. If so, I was going to reply, you know what? You're right. Fine. I don't know about you, but when I stand before God, I want to hear the words that the choir sang a while ago. Well done, my good and faithful servant. You understand that Lance Armstrong sold his soul to the devil in order to win. And he lost at the game of life. He might have won the most prestigious athletic events, but he lost at the game of life. Number five. I believe Jesus would say to Lance, you must play by the rules. In 1 Corinthians 9:24, don't you know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. You got to play by the rules. You ever tried to teach your children how to play checkers? And you teach them how to play, and then you get to play, and then you get to beat, and then they want to change the rules. And you say, oh, no, you can't do that. You know, it's like in baseball. You can hit the ball out of the park, but if it's left of third base, it's a foul ball. If it's right of first base, it's a foul ball. It's not a home run. Why? The rule said when you knock it out of the park, it's got to be between these lines. Well, guess what? In the game of life, God makes the rules. And if you and I are going to win in the game of life, we got to play by God's rules. We don't get to make the rules up ourselves. And then number six, don't get disqualified from your reward. Verse 27, no, I beat my body and make myself slaves, so that after I preach to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. In 2011, the United States International Doping Agency accused Lance Armstrong of injecting himself with banned substances. In the accusing of him, they recommended that he be banned from the sport for life. Now, he could have appealed the ruling. And you're going to see in a moment, Lance Armstrong never, ever failed a drug test. Never did. So there's no physical evidence to convict him. But instead of fighting it in court, he chose not to appeal. And when he chose not to appeal, they stripped him of his 7 titles as champion of the Tour de France. Not only that, but he ended up losing a civil lawsuit from the federal government and had to pay a $5 million settlement for breaking the rules. He did all of this hard work and he was disqualified for the prize. And so God would say to Lance Armstrong, don't be disqualified. God would say to us today, don't be disqualified. Don't run the race and at the end be disqualified because you didn't play by God's rules. Number 7, I believe Jesus would say to Lance Armstrong, you will not be able to cover up your sins. Numbers 32 verse 23 says, but if you will not do so, behold, you have sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sin will find you out. Lance Armstrong passed over 500 drug tests in his career. 500 times. There was never any physical evidence that Lance Armstrong broke the rules. But Lance knew he broke the rules. The people around him knew he broke the rules. But more importantly, God knew. He was lying. He was living a lie. And he was nothing but a cheat. Proverbs 28:13 says, he who conceals his sin does not prosper, but whoever confesses and renounces them finds mercy. Did you ever play hide and go seek with your kids when they were small? I did. And let me tell you what my kids would do. They'd run into the bedroom and they'd take the cover. They'd take the blankets and they'd cover themselves up. And you know, after I counted to 10 or 100, whatever it was, I'd come looking for them and I'd say, where are you? Where are you? And I'd get there in the room and I could see them up under the covers, right? And I'd say, where are you? And you'd see them wiggling around. But you see, they thought that because they couldn't see me, that I couldn't see them. But you see, I could see the hump in the covers. I could see them wiggling. I could see them moving, but they couldn't see me. Do you understand that just because you don't see God with your physical eyes does not mean that God doesn't see you with His eyes? You see, if we conceal our sin, God will reveal our sin. But if we will reveal our sin to God, God will conceal our sin. But instead of doing that, he lied, and he told more lies to cover up the other lies. Again, it's just a little white lie. But notice here what God's Word says in Proverbs 6. There are 6 things the Lord hates, no 7 things He detests. Haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that kill the innocent, a heart that plots evil, feet that race to do wrong, a false witness who pours out lies, a person who sows discord in a family. Did you notice out of those 7 things that 2 of them had to do with lying? I mean, God hates lying. And you know what I've noticed in human nature? People would tell me this, said, you know what, I can't stand to be lied to. I can't stand a liar. And yet every person in this room is a liar. We can't stand it in somebody else, but it's all right if we lie to cover our behind. Have you noticed that? And yet the Bible says there'll be no liars in heaven. Here's what Lance Armstrong said in 2013 as he was being interviewed by Oprah Winfrey. Remember when he said in his book right before he had brain surgery about not being a liar and a cheat? He said, hi, I'm Lance Armstrong, and actually I'm a liar and a cheat and a thief. All those years he lied. And now he finally comes clean. But remember, there's no physical evidence to convict him. So why did he confess to taking EPO and testosterone? And by the way, did you know your body makes EPO? Your kidneys make EPO. It's just a hormone your body makes. Well, he injected himself with EPO, which causes the body to make more red blood cells. Because you see, when you're pedaling that bicycle up the side of that mountain, you need all the red blood cells and oxygen to the muscles that you can get. And of course, you know, the type of cancer he had made it that his body didn't produce testosterone, and so he injected himself with testosterone. And he admitted all of that. If there was no physical evidence, when he admitted this, he lost $75 million in sponsorship in one day. So why did he fess up? I believe Lance Armstrong got tired of living a lie. He got tired of living a lie. Number 8. I think the last thing that Jesus would say to Lance Armstrong is this: the truth will set you free. In John 8:32, then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. In his interview in 2013 with Oprah Winfrey, at the end of it, with tears running down her face, Oprah Winfrey looked at Lance Armstrong and said, "The truth will set you free." And he nodded his head in agreement, and he wept on national television, and he said, "The truth will set you free." And folks, they were partially right. But they didn't tell the whole story. Oprah didn't tell the whole story. The truth will set you free. You see, Jesus Christ is the truth. Just confessing that you have messed up is not the truth. Notice here in John 14:6, Jesus answered, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Lance, you have run from your earthly father all of your life. Lance, if you want to be set free, turn and run to Jesus Christ. Run to your heavenly Father and receive truth, receive forgiveness, receive pardon, receive a brand new start in life. Isaiah says it this way, chapter 1, verse 18. "Come, now let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they're red as crimson, they shall be like wool." I believe Jesus would say to Lance Armstrong, "Look at Simon Peter. Simon Peter made the boast, 'I will not deny you. I will die first.'" And Jesus said, "Before the rooster crows, you're going to deny me 3 times. And you know what he did? He denied him. He made this promise that he did not keep. You want me to tell you what Simon Peter did? He lied. "I will die for you." He didn't die for him. He denied him. But what did Jesus do? Jesus found Simon Peter and he restored him and he used him to establish the kingdom of God. He wiped his slate clean. He let Simon Peter start all over again. There's folks in this room right now, and you need to come clean with God and let Jesus wipe your slate clean and give you a fresh, brand new start. But it begins by revealing, "God, I'm a mess. My life's a mess. I've messed up. God, I need your help." I'm going to ask you to bow your head. Nobody's looking around. I know this, in a group this size, there's a lot of pain. There's a lot of heartache. There's a lot of trouble. I'm wondering who's in this room and you're like Lance and you've been pedaling away, running away as hard as you can. And God is saying to you, "Don't run away from the pain, run to me and let me heal the brokenness in your life." I'm wondering who's here and you've been justifying some behavior in your life and the Holy Spirit will not let you off the hook. The Holy Spirit will not let you make excuse for what's going on in your life. Would you come today and say, "God, I want to come clean"? I'm wondering who's here today and you're trusting in being a good person, a good husband, a good dad, a good man in the community, But you realize today that you have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and you need God's grace and God's forgiveness. Would you come today and trust Jesus Christ, the way, the truth, and the life? Would you invite Him into your heart, your life, and let Him help you be a winner in the race of life? Gracious God, as we have a time of decision making and commitment, may the Holy Spirit woo and draw each one of us to your side. Lord, may we step out of our seat, step out of our comfort zone, and trust you, God, to do that which only you can do. Wipe our slate clean. Give us a brand new start. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. If you would please stand as we sing, we invite you to come.